Will you turn, please, tonight in your Bible to the book of Jonah? Turning to the book of Jonah. Whenever I was thinking about the message to preach tonight, the Lord has burned this one into my heart. So I believe it's for you tonight. I believe this is a message for somebody in the meeting. In a very particular way, whenever you're preaching somewhere, you always look to the Lord for the word that He wants you to bring, because you want to bring the Lord's message. But there's some messages the Lord just burns into your heart and into your mind. It's difficult to explain. I want to commence to read at verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." They said every one to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Amen. Let's just back. What is your favorite sport? Maybe it's football. I don't really follow it that much, but I think the season has started again. Maybe it's tennis. Maybe you just love watching the tennis games at Wimbledon. Maybe it's golf. If it's golf, I don't understand why that would be anybody's favorite sport, because I think it's terrible and very boring, but that's just me. Maybe it's fishing. Maybe it's hockey. Whenever I was at school, it was rugby. Of course, you know, to look at me, I was a rugby player. But you have a sport that you like to watch. Maybe you're here tonight in Coleraine, and it just so happens to be your favorite sport is running. And maybe I can't see from here, but maybe you like running that much that you even wear your running shoes to church. I don't know what's on your feet. I don't know if it's shoes or sandals, boots or slippers. I don't know. But maybe it's your running shoes. Maybe you laugh at that. I remember preaching in a church up the country some years ago, and there was a wee woman come out past me at the door, and she was shaking my hand. And she apologized for wearing her slippers, and I just thought that maybe because of some condition she had to wear the slippers, but she had actually come to church in that big a tizzy, she forgot to put on her shoes, and that was the reason why. But maybe you're here tonight and you just love running so much And you wear your trainers to church. You wear your running shoes to church. And you wear them here for one simple reason, because you are so fanatical about running that you yourself are a runner. You just love to run. And your favorite day for running just so happens to be a Sunday. Because whenever you come to church, and whenever you hear the message that is preached, you run like mad out those doors and away into your car. Because the problem is, you're running away from God. That's the problem. It's not that you like running. It's not that you're health conscious. It's not that you are somebody who just loves the exercise. The problem is, you are running away from God. Maybe in your spiritual running shoes, every time you come to a meeting, gospel meeting or otherwise, you are ready to escape as fast as you can. We have read tonight about a man who is described as a runaway missionary. Jonah is remembered as the runaway prophet. He was the man, and you ask anybody, any child, any adult, they will know of Jonah as the man who ran or tried to run away from God. The problem is that he tried to outrun God. And the answer to that one is, we simply can't. There is nowhere in this wide world or otherwise that we can hide or we can escape from God. We could give you other examples tonight, but you think of Adam and Eve. Whenever they had sinned in the Garden of Eden, they knew that they had sinned. And they tried to hide their face. They tried to hide away from God, and they couldn't. Here was Jonah. And God had come in a very particular way to Jonah and asked him to do a very particular thing. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was a real person. And God had asked him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. These people, those that lived in Nineveh, were despised by the Jews. They didn't like them at all. In fact, Jonah would rather that they perish. He would rather that the wrath of God be meted out upon these people rather than him go and preach repentance in the city of Nineveh. The book of Jonah tells us God was a gracious God. Not only was he gracious to Jonah, but he was also very gracious to Nineveh as well. He gave Nineveh an opportunity to repent, but he also gave Jonah an opportunity for a second chance. Jonah was a rebellious servant of God. Jonah was a prophet. He rebelled against the wishes of God. But God went after him. God sought him out, and God was pleased to take him up and to use him. Maybe tonight in Korean you wouldn't describe yourself as a rebellious person. You wouldn't say in any shape or form that you seek to rebel against your parents or rebel against the teaching of the church or rebel against anything that you've ever been taught. No, it's not in my nature. I wonder tonight, are you running? Where are you running to? Where are you going to? And who are you running from? What direction are you running through the race of life? This is a race. We've heard that described before. The race of life. Even in worldly terms, they will talk about the human race. The race of life. I wonder, where are you running to? Where is your finish line tonight? Is it heaven or is it hell? Is it the world or is it Christ? Who are you running for? Who are you running with? Who are you running away from tonight? I have some very simple things that I want to bring to your attention tonight from Jonah's experience. And I believe that in Korean tonight, there's a message for you here. I believe there's somebody in this room tonight, in this church, and this is the message that the Lord would have for you. The first thing I want us to notice is the request. In chapter 1, verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. This was the simple task that God had asked Jonah to do. It was laid out plain and simple. The problem was, Jonah thought that he had a choice. Jonah thought that God's will was a choice. He was wrong. God's will is not an option. It's an obligation and it's an opportunity. And if you're a Christian in the meeting tonight, God's will for your life is not an option. God's will for your life is an obligation. It's an opportunity. And it's the best way that God would have you live your life. We often tell our young people whenever they're seeking God's will for their life, for a life's partner or for employment or some other major decision, we always say, you don't want to live on God's second best. So for that reason, our young people then, in their own mind, they try and seek out God's will for their life. It's the hardest thing to find, but whenever you find it, you know that you have. Because it's the best place for you to be. I wonder tonight, where are you with God? God had made a very particular and definite request. He had told Jonah exactly where he had to go. He not only told him where he had to go, he told him what he had to go and do. So Jonah couldn't have made a mistake. Jonah had been asked to be a preacher. Jonah, I want you to be a missionary. I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach. I want you to take a very important message to a very, very wicked people. Jonah, that's the job that I have for you. Because God was so precise in his instruction, Jonah couldn't have made a mistake. Jonah couldn't have got God's will for this part of his life wrong. Sometimes we can. Sometimes we can misinterpret God's will. Sometimes you're seeking for direction or instruction from God, and sometimes we do get it wrong and we make the wrong decision. We felt that God led us that way. We felt that God brought us that way. We felt that we should marry, or we felt that we should have that employment. Sometimes we get it wrong. But the Bible is very clear, and Jonah couldn't have made a mistake. Jonah could not have got this one wrong. He fully understood what he had to do. I wonder, is there anybody in our meeting tonight, and God, over the experiences of your life, has spoken to you very, very clearly in your life. And he has told you very specifically in particular what he wants you to do. And you're looking back and you're thinking, I don't want to get this wrong. I want to get this right. Verse 1 tells us, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, maybe the word of the Lord has come unto you. Maybe you've been in meetings like this before. Maybe in Sunday school children's meetings the whole way through the ranks of the church. And for years and years and years, the word of the Lord has been coming into your heart and into your mind. And you have went away from the church, away from the meeting, with your running shoes on. And you've laced them up. And you've run out as fast as you can, ran away from the presence of God. And the word of the Lord has come to you just the way it came to Jonah, in a very particular way. And you were under no illusion, you were under no doubt as to what God had asked you to do and what God wants you to do. But you're just running away from the presence of God. Maybe God has been calling you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're 20 years of age. Maybe you're 40 years of age. I don't know. But God has been calling you. There's two different types of call that God has. The first of those is God's call unto salvation. God has been calling you unto salvation. He wants you to be saved. For years and years you have been listening. You have been hearing that knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And for years you have heard that knock. For years you have heard that voice, just as Jonah heard the word of the Lord coming clearly, telling him very distinctly what he had to do. But you have been like Jonah and you have ran away. John 14:6, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Words as clear as that have come into your mind and into your heart. As God makes the call, I wonder tonight, will you listen? I wonder, will this be the night for you that you will stop running and you will say enough is enough? You'll stop doing what you're doing. You'll stop running where you're running and you'll say, tonight is the night. Tonight is the night that I'm going to get saved. I'm fed up running away from God. I'm fed up with this life. I'm fed up even living a lie. Maybe you come to church and the prayer meeting, all the meetings of the church, and you do all you can for the church, but you're not saved. And for years you've lived a lie. Tonight is the night. You're going to say, I'm fed up with this. I'm going to put this right tonight. I'm hearing God speak to me again. And I know things aren't right in my life. Tonight is the night that I'm going to put it right. Maybe God has been calling you for service. Maybe there's something he's asking you to do. Something very particular. For Jonah, it was to go to the city of Nineveh. Maybe God's asking you to go to the town of Coleraine. Maybe God is asking you to go to the factory floor. Maybe God is asking you in the school where you work, or maybe the office where you work, or maybe whatever form of employment, the office, the shop, maybe it's even in the open air outside, maybe the building site, wherever it is, maybe even in the home, maybe even in the garden, hanging up the washing, there's wee Mrs. So-and-so, and there's wee Mr. So-and-so over the road. God has been calling you. God has been asking you to do something very particular. You've just been like Jonah. You have been running away. You have been running away from God. A doctor, a nurse, accountants, teachers, policemen. Something else that God wants you to do. Maybe it's a preacher. Maybe it's a missionary. But no, you want to do those other things. And you have been running away. Maybe whenever we hear the word preacher, missionary, evangelist, some of those things, it tends to make us run away. I wonder, are you like Jonah tonight? I wonder, are you hearing the request that God is making to you? He wants to save you tonight. He wants to wash away your sin. And you're just running away. You're running away from God. Notice with me, secondly, the response. Because in verse 3, the Bible tells us that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. What a word to use. Flee. I don't like that word. Flee. He's running away. You think of flee. He must have left in such a frenzy. He must have left. You can't imagine how quickly this man left. He tried to escape. You think of that word in your mind. Flee. What do you do whenever you flee? You just want to get out of that place right away. Immediately. He just didn't want to be there. He would have went anywhere just to try and get away from the very presence of the Lord. Maybe that's how you feel right now. Maybe here in Coleraine you're doodling with a hymn book, or you're writing on a page, or maybe you're thinking about other things, what you're going to have for your tea whenever you go home, but you're just like Jonah and you want to flee from this place. You want to just get out. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be there. Jonah was like that. He ran away. He went down. He wanted to catch a boat. He knew the way he should have went, but he didn't want to go that way, and he chose to go that way. That's the way it is for you tonight. You know the way you have to go. You know you have to come the way of the cross, because you know it and you're sure of it. The way of the cross leads home, but you don't want to go that way. You want to go some other way. And you know the way of the cross is the right way. Jonah knew that the way to Nineveh was the proper thing to do. He knew it was the proper way for him to go, but he didn't want to go that way. There's scores of people today, thousands of people, and they know that the way of the cross is the way they must go, but they don't want to go that way at all. Whenever Jonah had this knowledge, what way did he react? He ran from the very presence of God. He went down to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. He wanted to get a boat that was going to Tarshish. He wanted to go from the presence of the Lord. And the thing that really bothered me was in verse 10, after the whole happenings on the boat, and we're going to look at that in a little minute. In verse 10, the men went, those men on that boat, they were pagan sailors. They weren't in Jonah's way of thinking at all. They were pagan men. They came to Jonah in verse 10, and they were exceeding afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this, Jonah? Jonah, why are you running away?" And the bit that stuck in my mind was this, for the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. He told them. Imagine what he said whenever he got onto that boat to buy the ticket. "I'm getting this ticket, boys. I want to get on this boat because I'm trying to outrun God. God's asked me to be a preacher. He's asked me to be an evangelist. I don't want to do that. I want to go my own way." He even told the men the very thing that God had asked them to do. And in verse, they asked him what was his occupation in verse 8. "What is thine occupation?" I wonder what he answered to that one. "Oh, well, actually, I'm a runaway missionary. That's actually what I am. I'm a runaway preacher. God asked me to go to Nineveh and I didn't go. So that makes me a runaway missionary." Jonah was in a terrible way of going. He was in a terrible atmosphere with the Lord, trying to run away from the presence of the Lord. What a sad thing to do, to leave the very presence of the Lord in anger and to go his own way. I wonder how many times you've done that. I wonder how many Sunday nights that has been you. That was Jonah. Because Jonah just said to God, "I don't want to." And in the anger of his heart, he turned and he went his own way. I wonder, is that you every Sunday night? Every Sunday night a gospel message is preached in this church. You're just like Jonah. In anger, you turn away. You say, "God, I don't want to." And you run away from God. You leave the very presence of the Lord and you choose to go your own way. God is speaking to you in a very particular way. And you know it tonight. The hymn writer put it well whenever he said, "Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has his way." Maybe that little voice, the Lord speaking to you tonight. It's not always Bible college. Whenever people talk about the Lord speaking to them about service, people have this notion and idea that, well, if I'm going to serve the Lord, I have to go to Bible college. That's not true. That is not true. It may be the Lord wants you to go to Bible college. Maybe the Lord has something else very particular for you to do within your own church. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. The very particular thing that God wants you to do is get down on your knees and ask Him for forgiveness. Get down on your knees and ask Jesus into your heart to wash away your sin. I wonder tonight, what will you say? Will you say yes to Jesus or will you say no? What, you have to answer one or the other. What will you say tonight? Yes, Jesus? No, Jesus. No, not tonight. I'm going to run away another night. I'm going to go my own way another time. I'm going to do my own thing another time. You can't hide from God. Hebrews 2 and 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And the answer is we can't escape. The answer is there's nowhere for us to go. There's nothing for us to do. I travel all over the country here and there with my work and different things, and I see a lot of people all over the place that I know, and probably more often than not they know me before I know them. It's just hard to retain everybody's face and name from where you know them. But let's say I'm walking down the street someday and I see some people from Korean Church, let's say, and I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to talk to them. I'm going to hide from them. And I run into the nearest shop and I hide. Crouch in behind a stand of clothes. There they are. They're away past. That's great. And I go out the door onto the main path and I go on my merry way. I can hide from you. And maybe you hide from people. I don't know. But we can hide from people. And there's things we can hide from people. Not only ourselves, but there's things we can hide from people. And maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you're hiding things. Maybe from your parents. Maybe even from your wife or your husband. I don't know. But there's one sure thing we can't do. And that is hide from God. Because He sees everything and He knows absolutely everything. And I wonder tonight, what are you going to do? Because we notice the rebuke. Here was Jonah and he tried to run away. The rebuke, chapter 1, verse 4, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. This point takes us down to the end of verse 12. Jonah was running away from God. And whenever we choose to run away from God, we choose danger instead of safety. If you're running away from God tonight, you're choosing a storm instead of peace. God had not finished with Jonah. God just wasn't going to wash His hands of Jonah and say, well, he doesn't want to go to Nineveh, I'll get somebody else. He doesn't want to go there, he's going there, I'll let him go there. I'll get somebody else to go to Nineveh. No, God was going to come after Jonah because He loved him. Because He was gracious. And because He had a particular job for him to do. I think that verse in the book of Acts about the Apostle Paul is a tremendous verse. Whenever Paul had his conversion, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me. You see, there was a man chosen to go and minister to Saul, but he didn't want to go. And the Lord said, I want you to go because he's a chosen vessel unto me and I have a job for him to do. You know, God's been gracious to you. God is coming after you tonight. He wants to save you. He wants to wash away your sin. He wants you to be ready for heaven. And He's chasing after you tonight. He's speaking to you again tonight. What are you going to do? Are you going to run away? God was rebuking Jonah. Here in verse 5, Jonah was fast asleep. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah wasn't one bit bothered. He wasn't one bit bothered about the boat. He wasn't bothered about those on it, about the storm. He wasn't even caring about Nineveh either. He was fast asleep. He was so content. They were doing their best to save him because in verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. They cried to their own gods. They prayed to their own gods. Then they woke Jonah up and said, Jonah, go and pray to your God that we might not perish. You see, God was rebuking Jonah. God was telling Jonah that, listen, this storm is coming into the way because this isn't the way that I want you to go. Do you ever step back and look at your life and look at the problems that you have in life? Do you ever step back and look at the things that are happening to you in your life and ask yourself why? Maybe they're happening because the way that you're going isn't the way that God wants you to go. Maybe the things that are happening to you, God's allowing them to happen because that's not the way He wants you to go. That's not the place He wants you to be. You're not the person that God wants you to be. God didn't want Jonah to be a runaway missionary. He wanted him to be a preacher that went to Nineveh. That's why the storm came into his life. That's why God had sent the storm. And Jonah was rebuked for running away. Then at the latter part of this chapter, he says to them, verse 12, take me up and cast me into the sea. And I know. Jonah knew all about it. He knew full well. He knew exactly what was happening. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. Verse 17. It tells us now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This wasn't the place where Jonah was supposed to be. Jonah was never meant to be in the belly of a fish. Jonah wasn't meant to be there. He should have been in Nineveh. He should have been preaching. He should have done what God asked him to do the first time. But oh no, Jonah had to go his own way. Jonah had to do his own thing. He was allowed to be there because of his own disobedience. Because of a dispute that he had with God. God allowed him to be there. God in his mercy had preserved Jonah. But God allowed him to be in the belly of the fish. You know, God is allowing you to be where you are today. He's preserving you. He's looking after you. He's watching over you. He doesn't want you to be there, but He's looking after you while you are there. But God wants to bring you back into the way again. Maybe you're a backslider in the meeting tonight, and maybe things hasn't been going smooth. Maybe you've been discouraged, and for whatever reason you've lost your way. You've went your own way, and you've maybe cooled off the religious thing, if you want to put it in those terms. You've cooled off on religion, and you're going your own way, and well, things just aren't going so well either. God doesn't want you to be there. Jonah's life was full of rebellion and disobedience. When he was asked to do something by God, he said, I don't want to. When you're asked to do something by God, you say, I don't want to. God says, get saved. You say, I don't want to. God says, go and work for me. You say, I don't want to. Jonah had to sink a very long way to realize that he was wrong. You know, one of the best things in a marriage is to say you're sorry. One of the hardest things to say is I'm sorry. And I'm sure if you're being honest today, if you're married, or even if you're a child in a house and a home and there's parents there, whenever you're in a home, you know you're wrong. The hardest thing to do is come and say that you're sorry. The hardest thing to do is realize that you're wrong. And here was Jonah, and he was realizing now that he was wrong. Jonah in the belly of this fish was realizing that this wasn't the way for me to go. This wasn't the place where God wanted me to be. But what storms will God have to send into your life before you realize that the way you're choosing in life is not the way that God wants you to be? When I was growing up, my father always told me there's a hard way and an easy way. Try and pick the easy way in life. Not a lazy way, an easy way. And you know it as well as I do. There's always those people in life. And if that's the easy way and that's the hard way, in everything they'll pick the hard way. Isn't that true? There's always people with problems and difficulties and cares. And life is just such a burden. But you know why? Because they've picked the hard way every single time. Because that's the way they've wanted to go. But it's the hard way. The Bible says in Proverbs, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved. You've looked at the two ways. The way of your parents, religion, church, Jesus Christ. You've looked at the way of the world, all of the pleasure, all of the enjoyment, all of the things of your friends. You've picked that way. But that's the hard way. That's the way that the Bible speaks about, is the way of death in Proverbs. Things couldn't really get any worse for Jonah. Here he was in the belly of a fish. He had nowhere to go. There was nobody really there to talk to. Jonah had a lot of time to think. In chapter 2 in the verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep. He prays to God from the belly of the fish. from the fish's belly, from the deep. In chapter 2, verse 5, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. He feels as if he's drowning in the midst of his distresses. The depth closed me round about. The waves were wrapped about my head. This isn't a pretty picture here. This is supposed to be a missionary. This is supposed to be a preacher. And look where he is. Because he has disobeyed God. He has went his own way. Jonah had to sink very, very low before he realized that he had went the wrong way. You know, I wonder tonight, how low will you have to sink in life before you realize that you have chosen the wrong way? How low will you have to go before finally you trust your parents' Savior? How long will you have to go before you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I have been wrong. All those wasted years. Think of what Jonah could have been doing here. Instead of being in the belly of a fish, he could have been preaching in Nineveh. He could have been doing a work for God. But he's wasting time because he's went his own way. And here you are tonight in Coleraine, and all those wasted years, all those years when you could have been living for Jesus, all those years when you could have been enjoying living for Jesus, all those years when you could have been serving and loving him more. But no, you have been like Jonah. You've decided to go your own way. Jonah repented in the belly of the fish. He cried out. He prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord did hear him. And we notice his restoration. Because in chapter 2 and the verse 10, it tells us there, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The Lord restored Jonah. Even though Jonah had disobeyed God, even though Jonah had been foolish, even though Jonah had went his own way and done his own thing and caused himself a lot of problems and a lot of heartbreak, God still loved him. God was still merciful to him, and God restored Jonah. Because the Bible says in chapter 3 and the verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go on to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. I've read that before somewhere. I read that in chapter 1, that's right. This is the second time that God has asked Jonah to do this. Why did he not go the first time? He probably asked himself the same question. Why did I not go the first time? You know, there's people in this meeting today, and I have met them on my travels, and they often say to me, why did I not get saved younger? Why did I not trust Jesus Christ earlier? Why did I have to do this, or why did I have to go there before I realized that Jesus was the way for me? Will you not listen tonight? Will you not learn by Jonah's mistake? Will you not learn by his experience and come to Jesus Christ tonight? I wonder what lessons Jonah learned. I wonder what he was thinking in the belly of that fish. Whatever lessons Jonah learned, he learned them the hard way. I wonder tonight, will you come the way of the cross? Will you come to Jesus Christ tonight? Even though Jonah did what he did, God gave him another chance. And here you are tonight in Coleraine Church again, alive and well. And God's giving you another chance. God is giving you an opportunity to have your sin washed away. God is giving you an opportunity to get ready for heaven, to trust him as your Savior, to put all the past behind you. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. I don't know how many bellies of the fish you have been in, but God knows. God knows the weeds that's wrapped around your head. God knows the heartbreaks and the heartaches in your life. And tonight he's given you a chance, another opportunity to put things right. I wonder, will you come? I wonder, will you be like Jonah and pray, cry out unto the Lord in your belly of the fish that you're in tonight? Oh yes, you might be clean and dry and nicely dressed in a church building. You're not really like Jonah as such. But in your heart, you're just as low and you've sunk just as deep. Your life is just as broken and is just as empty as it was for Jonah there in the belly of that great fish. I wonder, will you not come tonight? Can you ever imagine what it would be like for Jonah if he ignored God the second time and ran away? I wonder what God would have done. I wonder, whenever God came to him in chapter 3 and asked him to do the same thing, if Jonah had have said no again, I wonder what would have happened. The Bible tells us that there's a time in our life, if we reject Jesus Christ enough, that Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I wonder, could that be tonight for you? I wonder, is that tonight for you? I don't know why Jonah didn't go to Nineveh. One thing I did notice in chapter 1, verse 1, it says there, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. In chapter 3, in the verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying. Maybe Jonah thought he was too good to go to Nineveh. After all, he was a son of Amittai. That's my family line. I'm too good to go to Nineveh. I can't go and preach to those wicked people. I can't do that. Do you not know who I am? I'm Jonah. I'm the son of Amittai. Verse 1 of chapter 3, he was just plain old Jonah. He was just plain old Jonah. Tonight, if you're coming to Jesus Christ, you just come as you are. Plain old Mary, or plain old Billy, or whatever your name might be, you just come as you are. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Plain old Jonah. What did he do this time, do you think? Verse 3, chapter 3. So Jonah arose. Jonah, go and preach, in verse 2. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. What did he do this time? He went and he preached. Jonah listened. He learned. He repented. He trusted. He was obedient. He went and he preached. He did what he should have done the first time. He went to that great city of Nineveh. And what blessings there was there. Because in verse 5 of chapter 3, the people of Nineveh believed God. That's what he should have done the first time. And it's as simple as this here in the meeting tonight. If Jonah had done that the first time, what heartbreak he would have saved himself. What trouble he would have avoided. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, what trouble you're giving yourself. Not only do you risk being lost for all of God's eternity, but you're just running away from God. You're just doing something that you cannot do. And you're just choosing the hard way in life. Maybe you're a Christian. You'll have no peace until God has his way in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You'll have no satisfaction. You'll have no rest. You'll have no joy and you'll have no happiness. You'll have no eternity in heaven unless Jesus is your own and personal Savior. What is it for you tonight? Is it the easy way or is it the hard way? Are you going to say yes to Jesus tonight? Or are you going to say no to Jesus tonight? I trust and I pray that you will say yes. On my door-to-door travels, I have met people with all sorts of problems. I don't know if I've told you the story before or not, but I remember probably 2 years ago now, there was a man who knocked the door and his marriage was on the verge of breaking down. He asked me into the house to pray with him. His life had just went so wrong and so bad. I could tell you story after story after story of people who have just opened up and told me the deepest problems of their heart. And if they would have only chosen a different way, if they would have only chosen the easy way, humanly speaking in life, things would have been so much different. And tonight, friend, for you, if you would only choose Christ, what a difference he would make in your life. If you want to get saved, if you want to ask me anything, I'll do my best to answer. I'll do my best to show you from God's Word. But listen, if you have a Christian friend or a Christian parent or any of the Christian workers, elders or whoever that you know in this church, you wait behind and speak to them. But don't be like Jonah. I want you to do something for me just now before we close this meeting in prayer. I want you to take your shoes off tonight. I want you to, just where you're sitting right now, kick your running shoes off. And kick them as far away from you as you possibly can. Take those trainers off. No more running tonight. Because tonight you're coming to Jesus. Tonight you're going to get saved. Forget about who's beside you. Forget about who's in front of you. Take the shoes off. Tonight you're coming to Jesus. Let's pray.